could take your Bibles tonight and you can go to Psalm 119. And we're going to start in verse 9. So Psalm 119, verse 9. Tonight I'm going to be sharing on hiding the word in our hearts. And Psalm 119 is kind of a cool psalm. For those who don't know, it's an acrostic. Every 8 verses in this psalm start with the same Hebrew letter. So it's kind of a cool form of almost like, I don't know if it's poetry, but prose, if you will, that God put together. So we're going to look at 9 through 16, this section that is, I'm probably going to butcher the word, but it's Beth, I think is the alphabetical letter there. But it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Which means, how is a young man going to cleanse his way? The answer, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. By paying attention to God's word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not, what? Sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Right? And verse 11 says, again, thy word have I hid in mine heart. And the word hid is to lay up, to store, or to treasure. Right? And so what he's saying is, thy word have I laid up in my heart. I've treasured it in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And the next verse says, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes, right? Teach me thy statutes. God can help to teach you and show you his word bigger. Verse 14 says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches, right? And so the word of God is to be valued and treasured above all riches. It's something that we're supposed to have respect for and to meditate on, right? And God will help to show it to us. And all of that is in the context of that opening verse of, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Right? When we take heed to God's word, we're not just supposed to, you know, hear it and be done with it. God wants us to store it up in our hearts, to lay it up in our hearts. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. So God wants us to take his word and really make it a part of who we are. To store it in our hearts. To make it something that we really remember, right? Not forget it, but remember it. That it's something that we can walk out on. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. It says, and this is after Moses receives the Ten Commandments and the law, right? So he's now teaching it to Israel. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear or respect the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life. and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to what?
Do it.
To hear and do. Right? To hear and do. The purpose for hearing God's word is so that we can hide it in our hearts. And after we hide it in our hearts, God wants us to do it. Right? To do it. Right? James 1:22. Anybody know James 1:22?
Be doers of the word and not hearers only.
That's right. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Right? God wants us to do his word, not just to hear it. We deceive ourselves if we just hear it. So, verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers had promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Right? So God, in those verses, tells us that it's going to be well with us, that we're going to increase mightily, that our days will be prolonged, right? So the benefits include wellness and increase, abundance, long life. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy what?
Heart.
So when God first gave Moses his word, he gave him the law, right? He wanted Moses to let everyone know what it said and what they were to do with it, right? To hear it and that these words shall be in thine heart, that they would lay it up in their hearts. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Right? So he wanted that word taught to their children. And the way that they taught it to their children was they lived it. Right? They lived it. It was always something they were talking about and teaching as part of their day-to-day activities. When you sit down in your house, when you're walking by the way, when you're lying down for bed, when you get up in the morning, right? It was be something that was always on their lips. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And that was just, you know, a way for them, or really it was meant to be a figure of speech, you know, that later Jews took literally and would bind these long wrappings around their hands and arms, and then wear the little boxes on their foreheads, the frontlets, where they would actually put these verses from the law into them. So they took it literally, but God means for it to just always be present, right? You're always, throughout the day, you look at your hands a lot, right? You wash your hands, you pick up things, whatever. You're constantly looking at your hands, right? And if you have something hanging from your forehead, you would see it all of the time, right? And so that's what God wanted to impress upon them, is like, always have this on your mind. Always have this right in front of your face. Always be thinking about God's word, right? Always be applying it throughout your day. And that's what it is to hide it in your heart, right? So that it is always at the forefront of your mind. It is always something that you're considering. Whenever you make a decision or whenever you do something, you know, you just take a second to say, you know, is this what God wants me to do? Is this according to his word? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing according to God's word? Right? Because God promised them that wellness and increase and abundance and length of days, right? That they were going to be blessed if they did that stuff. Go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians 3:16. And while that was the law and it was a different administration, Colossians 3:16 is addressed to us. And, probably no surprise, it's no less important today to keep the word at the forefront of what we do. That hasn't changed. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ," or concerning Christ, "dwell in you richly, in all wisdom." So God wants the word to dwell in us, to dwell. And to dwell means to live, to take up residence in, right? He wants the word to take up residence in your life, to dwell in you richly, bountifully, you know, not just like hanging out there sometimes and place to rest your head and then you're out the door every morning, right? Shouldn't be the word. It shouldn't be there for a little bit and then you never remember it. It should dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, right? And he wants us as the one body to help each other with the word, right? To always be speaking the word to each other, to be encouraging one another with the word, right? Things like song and music help us reflect on God's word. Those are just simple things that we can do to keep it at the forefront of our minds. Go to Jeremiah 15. So it's just as important today as it was back then when Moses was first given the law, the word of God. He wants us to hide it in our hearts for it to be living and real. Jeremiah 15, 16. Chapter 15, verse 16. This is a good illustration here, right? "Thy words were found." God's words were discovered again. "And I did" what? "Eat them." He ate God's words. Not literally. He didn't make a sandwich out of the word and snack upon it. But it was so important to him. It was so amazing to him that he gobbled it up, as you would say, right? He couldn't get enough of it. "Thy words were discovered, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my" what? "Okay. "Heart." So when we hide it in our heart, it becomes the joy and the rejoicing of our heart. "For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Right? God's word became the thing he couldn't get enough of. And the result of that was that it became the source of his joy and his rejoicing, right? His happiness, his blessedness in life came from God's word, right? They became the joy and rejoicing of his heart. Go to Romans chapter 12. So when we hide the word in our hearts, when it's something that we dwell on and we think about and we seek to live by it, it's going to really bless us. We're going to be happy. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Right? And that's really what most people want in life. Most people do most of the things they do in life for one reason, and that's to make them happy. Right? I eat the whole chocolate cake because it makes me happy. Right? I, you know, buy the most expensive sports car because it's going to make me happy. Right? And people will chase things to find happiness, and it never really lasts for them, right? Because the one thing that's going to make you happy is the Word of God. It's the way that God designed it. He's the one who created us, right? God is the one who put us all together. He knows how we work, and he knows that his Word is what's going to bless us. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Right? And the things that you dwell on, the things that you devote your time to and attention to, are the things which you become conformed to. Right? That's just the way stuff works. If you focus on something and you devote your time and attention to it, you become conformed to it. And the word warns us to not be conformed to this world. right? So that's not where we should put our time and attention, is on things of the world, right? The five senses stuff, the pleasures, the things that the adversary wants us distracted by, right? But instead, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, right? When you make God's word that thing, right? That thing that you're conformed to, it transforms you, right? When you're conformed to the word and not the world, it transforms you, right? God promises you wellness and abundance and long life and all those things. And that's transforming, right? You're going to be blessed. You're going to be happy. You're going to see fruit as we dwell on that word. Go to Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. And it's really cool to think about that God made us. He knows how we work, right? If I make something and I know how it works, like if I knew how to make a car, I would know that if I put gasoline in the car, it's going to run really well. And it's going to work the way I want it to work. And I'm going to be able to use it to its full potential, right? But if I take a car and I put water in the gas tank or mustard in the gas tank, I'm not going to get anywhere with it, right? That's not how it works. I can put other junk in it. That's okay. That's my choice. But it's not going to work the way I want it to work, right? And God knows how we work. He designed us. And he gave us the instructions. Just like it says, hey, put gas in this tank, not mustard, and it will run right. I can put mustard in it, but then it's not going to run right, right? So if we put junk in our brains, then we're not going to run right, right? Things aren't going to go good for us because we'll be conformed to this world. Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. And that perfect peace is Shalom, shalom, right? Which means an all-encompassing well-being in every category of life, right? It is the repetition of shalom, shalom means it's all-encompassing well-being in every category of life. So God's word says that he's going to keep us in that state, right? An all-encompassing state of well-being in every category of life, when we do something, and that something is when we stay our mind on him, right? When we stay our mind on him. And a stayed mind is part of hiding the word in our hearts, right? It will result in perfect peace. It will result in a trust in God, right? We keep our mind on God. We keep our mind on God. We keep our mind on God. A stayed mind is something that we all have to work at, right? We train our children up to do it. Right, to keep our minds focused on one thing at a time. And God wants that thing to be his word, right? To be able to stay our mind on his word is a really important skill, right? And it's something that we can practice all of the time, right? We can think about something and keep our mind on it, because the world has gotten to the point where it's ever-increasing bombardment of information and stimuli that wants us to take our attention here, and then here, and then here, and then here, and then squirrel, right? And it's like hard to stay your mind because of everything that's being thrown at you, right? You've got TikTok where it's like 10-second videos, and it's like that thing is so scrolling, and it's scrolling, and it's scrolling. And it's like you aren't paying attention to anything for more than a few seconds at a time, right? And that gets your brain to this place where it's hard to concentrate on anything, right? Well, God's word says that if we stay our mind on God and his word, then we'll have perfect peace. Then things will really be settled and we won't feel all rattled inside, right? The adversary knows what he's doing. He's not a dummy, right? He wants to find ways to distract people from God's word. Go to Matthew chapter 4. And that's not to say that you can't go on TikTok and you're the worst person in the world. If you do, you can have entertainment, right? But it has to be in balance, right? It can't be bigger than God and His Word. Matthew 4, verse 1. You can stay your mind on God's Word, you're all right. If you can't, maybe practice that. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus Christ is a great example of a stayed mind, of someone who hid the Word in his heart. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Do you think he got hungry before day 40? I always wondered. It says he fasted for that long and then after he was hungry. I think by day 2 I would be hungry. And when the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Hey, you're the Son of God and you're hungry. Tell these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, it is what?
Written.
It is written. Right? And that's a great response. What does God's Word say? That's how Jesus Christ responded. Well, what does God's Word say? I'm really hungry and I want this rock to be made bread. Sure. But what does God's Word say? Well, it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into an holy city, unto the holy city, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written. So the adversary knew what the Word said too, right? He knew what the Bible said. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Right? So he's like, you know, it says that in the Bible, so go ahead. Chuck yourself off, and the angels will take care of you. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Right? So while the adversary was taking his verse out of context, Jesus Christ brought it back to the Word and said, it's written that you should not tempt God. You know, you don't throw yourself off the building just because God says He'll take care of you. Right? That's not what you're supposed to do. Verse 8, again, the devil take them up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. You can have all these kingdoms, the whole world. You can run the whole world, right? Because it was the adversary's to give. If you will fall down and worship me. There was a condition. Verse 10, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So once again, he responded to the adversary with, it is written, right? We're only supposed to worship God, not you, right? And so he knew how to tackle all of these different situations because the Word was hid in his heart, right? His response was always the Word. Right? And he had to know it. He had to be sharp about it, right? Because the adversary tried to even get at him with, you know, his throwing the Word back at him, right? So he had to be sharp with it. But verse 11 says, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him, right? So they took care of him. They took care of him, right? And God will always take care of us, right? When we memorize the Word, when we hide it in our hearts, when we're able to call it back to our mind right away, then we're ready to have an answer for every situation, right? We're ready to be able to tackle any scenario because we know what the Word of God says. 1 Peter chapter 3. So not only will we be blessed and be peaceful, we'll be able to handle these situations that get thrown at us, because we'll always be able to tackle them with the Word. Right? So we want that Word to dwell in us richly. We want to hide it in our hearts. And another cool thing, if you've got it hidden in your hearts, is in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your what? Hearts. What is it to sanctify? It's to set apart, right? Carve out a place in your heart for God, right? Carve out a place in your heart for God. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear or reverence, right? If we carve out that place for God and His Word in our hearts, if we give place to that, then we're going to always be ready, at the ready, to share it with somebody who needs it, right? Because people are going to look at you. It says, always give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you. When you live the Word, people take notice, right? You are a living epistle. People see the Word of God living in your life, and they look at you and they go, why are you so happy? Why are you so joyful? Why are you so peaceful in this situation? How do you do it, right? That's the hope that's in you, right? They see that Word shine forth, and you'll be ready to give them an answer for it, right? Oh, well, it's because I believe this, and God says this, and He'll take care of me, right? And we'll be able to deliver that Word to the people who need it, right? God wants us to share His Word too, right? He wants us to share this wonderful thing that we have with other people, right? And so there's lots of practical things that we can do to hide the Word in our hearts, right? We can surround ourselves with scriptural reminders, right? Whether it's post-it notes or, you know, art in our house or verses, you know, whatever it might be that we, it's always, you know, in eyesight someplace. It's somewhere we're always looking at it, right? You can get artistic with the Word, right? If you're an artsy person and you like to make things or draw things or do wood burnings or build stuff, right? You can always do that stuff with God's Word at the forefront, right? If you like to paint, paint a nice little scene and throw the scripture on it. If you like to do word burning, bless somebody with some scripture on it, right? Whatever it might be. We can put scripture to use. That's another great way for us to keep it in our hearts. Right? It says, we read earlier how we're supposed to stay our mind on the Word. Well, staying our mind on the Word means that we keep it there and we think about it. And that takes effort and practice. Right? So we can put scripture to use in whatever we're doing. You can do a word study or research a topic, right? Just listen to teachings. Dig into it yourself sometimes. Say, I want to know more about this. And look at it. That's hiding the Word in your hearts. You can prepare short teachings. And you can listen while you do other stuff, right? There's lots of opportunity for us now with having teachings online for us to just pop in our headphones while we're doing the dishes or we're doing the yard work or whatever it might be. You know, that task that requires a lot of physical effort, but we can still pay attention to something. It can be the Word, right? So there's all kinds of different things you can do to make sure that the Word is still being fed into your brain and fed into your brain, right? You'll need time to do other things. I get it. But we want to also make sure that we carve out that time for God, right? That we make it a priority in our lives to be constantly feeding it, right? Jeremiah, His words were found and I did eat them, right? Make it a part of your diet. And keep your mind stayed on God's Word.